God will not scrap his original creation and start over. Instead, he will take his fallen, corrupted children and restore, refresh, and renew us to our original design.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright. Welcome to Sharing the Light, a program of healing and hope, sharing the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. I'm Daniel Britt. We're in the middle of Alan's series on heaven, taken from the pulpit at Renolda Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Alan, unless you've been living under a rock, you know our society places a high value on physical appearance. As we continue hearing and thinking about heaven in this series, you're going to address that. Why are we so obsessed with our physical appearance, and why is there good news when we think about heaven and our physical appearance?
Well, if we really believed in heaven, then it would be a badge of honor to look old, because it'd be that you're getting closer to your graduation. And we are really not a society that is very heaven-oriented. And because of this, we idolize youth. We idolize youth for its not just its vitality, but because youth causes us to not think about eventual death. And yet, the more that we meditate on heaven, the more that death becomes not a frightening specter, but a doorway into what we're always created to be. So I think a lot of our obsessions over our physical appearance, not that it's bad to care about our physical appearance, but our obsessive nature about this is rooted in the fact that we're really not very heavenly oriented.
Well, if you want to know more, listen up next on Sharing the Light. And stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast for information on receiving Alan's full teaching on heaven and our glorified body. Here is Alan Wright.
I want to show you an interesting text in Acts chapter 4. And then we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 15 later on. But I'm going to just start with this. See if this is intriguing to you. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Now, what surprises me in this text that I've read over, I'm sure, many times, is not that the chief priests and Sadducees and temple guard were upset by all these followers and all these people being converted. We see that in other places, or that Peter and John had such boldness to speak to the people, or that they were disturbed. But what they were proclaiming in Jesus was the resurrection of the dead. But the resurrection of Christians from the dead. Not just Jesus' resurrection. They're talking about the resurrection of the dead that we have in Jesus Christ. And this was very upsetting. It was not upsetting because the Hebrew people didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They believed in the resurrection of the dead, but only when the Messiah comes. So in announcing the resurrection of the dead, every Jewish person knew that you must be, therefore, saying Jesus is the Messiah. But what also intrigues me in this is that in proclaiming and preaching a sermon about the resurrection of the dead, that so many thousands of people were coming to Christ. And that's amazing to me, because other than at a funeral, I don't think I've ever preached a sermon about the resurrection of the dead. I've been to two different events this week. I've been all over the place this week. I've been greatly blessed. I've been out at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, where there were all kinds of speakers and wonderful things that were taking place. Nobody spoke on the resurrection of the dead. And then I've been at the New Canaan Society Men's Retreat up in Virginia, and a great speaker. We had so many great speakers there and seminars, and I went to all the different things. It was wonderful. Nobody's speaking about the resurrection of the dead. In fact, I don't think I've ever heard a sermon on the resurrection of the dead. But Peter and John were preaching about the resurrection of the dead, and they put them in jail because of it, and 5,000 people came to Christ. So it might be worth exploring. people have so many different, thoughts about the afterlife. And this has been the case in the history of humanity. Sociologists can show us that almost every culture at every time and every place has had some kind of belief in an afterlife. Some of them, various bizarre thoughts. And C.S. Lewis wisely tells us that if I have a desire for something other than this world, then the best and most obvious answer to why I have that desire is that there is something other than this world. In other words, in the same way that when a baby hungers for milk in infancy, it proves that milk must exist, even though the baby doesn't know that milk exists, the hunger points to it. And so when you think about, well, every culture has had some view of the afterlife, everybody's hungering to know that there's something beyond this world. Of course they do, because we are made for something that is beyond what we are now currently experiencing. Well, one of the views that people, as have been a fairly common view in a lot of Eastern thought, is that of reincarnation, that you die and you get to come back based on whether you lived a good life or a bad life. You come back as something better or something worse. And, you know, you keep doing this until you maybe can kind of work your way up the ladder. You live, you know, really badly, you might come back, you know, as a Duke fan or something, but you just got it in there. And, but I got tickled because I was looking in a, I read that in a psychology magazine several decades ago, there was a scamorama contest who could send in the best true scam that they'd ever read about from a psychological standpoint, and this is the one that won. Were you born rich? Now you can be. If you wish you'd been born rich, now you can be. If you're one of the growing millions who are convinced of the reality of reincarnation, here's a once-in-a-lifetime offer. First, leave us $10,000 or more in your will. Then, after you pass away, our professional psychic will contact your spirit in the other world. Then you tell us when you're coming back and under what name. Upon your return, when you're 21 years of age, we'll regress you to your former life through hypnosis and ask you for your 7-digit account number. Once you give us the account number, we'll give you a check on the spot for your original investment plus all that interest. You may come back to find yourself a billionaire. I love the closing line. Show your future self how much you care. Leave a generous welcome back present. We'll take care of the rest. You ready for some good news? You're not going to be reincarnated. But Christians, you're coming back to this earth. It'll be a new earth, united with a new heaven, and you'll have a new glorified body that is above and beyond what you could ask or think. I got a great title for today's message. Usually the title doesn't come until I'm standing in the lobby afterwards and they say, what do we put on the CD? But this one came on Thursday at staff meeting when somebody said, Have you got a subject for your message? I said, I got a subject. They said, you got the title? I said, of course I got no title. I'm preaching about the resurrection of the dead. And then the title came out of my witty assistant, Laura, The Body You've Always Wanted. So there you go. Randy Alcorn has written a book on heaven I commend to you. And in it, he states this. Conversion does not mean eliminating the old, but transforming it. Despite the radical changes that occur through salvation, death, and resurrection, we remain who we are. We have the same history, appearance, memory, interests, and skills. This is the principle of redemptive continuity. God will not scrap His original creation and start over. Instead, He will take His fallen, corrupted children and restore, refresh, and renew us to our original design. I've been meditating on the scriptures about heaven and about death and resurrection for 2 weeks now. And when I read this particular paragraph, I began to weep for joy and ask myself, why has this touched me so much? And I've begun to understand why it's touched me so much. And I want to share it with you because it may touch you as well. The first thing to say about this is that the Bible teaches the resurrection of the body, not the immortality of the soul. Many people have a misguided view that has come down through as much Greek philosophy as it has through biblical thinking. And the starting place to understanding the resurrection of the body is to clear up and clear out any of the wrong thinking that has come through Greek philosophy, which has been a quite pervasive influence on us. Some have a view, in one kind or another, of the immortality of the soul that looks something like this, that we have these kind of disembodied souls, and then God, you know, makes us on earth as a little baby and puts that soul into the baby, and then we live here for a while and slough off this body of decay, and then that soul that was always alive goes and then lives with God. And a lot of this kind of thinking has emerged, that the body that we have now is bad, needs to be sloughed off, and the spiritual things are good. And this is really totally unbiblical. The scripture never speaks of physical things as bad things. But this came through a lot of Greek thought, Platonic thought like this, that the invisible things were of extreme value, and these material things were mere shadows that are of not any real value. And so sometimes we read texts like where Paul is talking about how it would be gain to depart and be with Christ, to be away from the body to be with Christ, and we interpret these things to think that well, maybe the body, and we know how sinful and corrupted we've been, is not good, and we can't wait to we're just spiritual. And that's just not the picture of the scriptures. Now, that said, the beginning point of understanding the Christian view of heaven is that the scriptures are clear that when we die, we do go into the immediate presence of God in heaven. Jesus talks to a thief on the cross and says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Paul, when he is thinking about the prospect, potentially being martyred, and he says that to die is to gain, that be with Christ, he's speaking of being in the immediacy of Christ, that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he's the God of the living, not the dead. John on the Isle of Patmos has this vision that we see recorded in Revelation, and what he sees are saints that are gathered with our angels and archangels in heaven, glorifying God. And so there are two things that are both essential to a biblical understanding of life beyond this life. And that is that you do, upon death, Christians, go immediately into the presence of God in heaven. But clearly it is taught that that is not the consummation of all things. So regardless of whether you're a premillennial dispensationalist or whether you're amillennialist or whatever your eschatology is, the scripture clearly teaches that there is a day of Christ, and that the day of Christ, a return of Christ, that there is going to be a resurrection of the dead in Christ. That when we do a burial service, the thing that I say in committing a body to the ground is in sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the dead. And when we say the Apostles' Creed this way, I believe in the resurrection of the dead. So there's a time that's coming in which God is going to renew the earth and the heavens, and is going to renew every one of us in a resurrected form. And however he's going to do this, we can only imagine. But in the same way that he created Adam out of the dust, there is, picture this, out of the dust that we return to, going to be a resurrection by the power of God. And it's going to be that it is your self-same body. We are not like hermit crabs that are just leaving behind a shell that we want to kind of get rid of. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a good example for us of, if you want to begin to understand what the Bible's teaching about the resurrection of our bodies. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, it means that the tomb was empty, because it was his self-same body that was raised. Now that body, that resurrected body, we only get different glimmers of the mystery of what that resurrected body was like. He ate fish, clearly. He had people touch him, and yet at the same time, he was able to be right in the presence of his disciples, evidently, just instantly. So there's some mysteries about that resurrected body, but it was Jesus' body. They found a shroud, but they didn't find Jesus. And the point of this is that likewise for you and for me, if Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection, it means he was a sample of what is to come. Now, I'm trying to paint this picture for you because this is an altogether more glorious and hopeful picture than of just being an ethereal ghost floating around on cosmic cloud. That's not fun. But Jesus raised from the dead, still being Jesus, yet being glorified, still being able to have fellowship and enjoy and laugh and feast, and yet having some of the limits removed from his physical name. That's an exciting thought. So the scripture teaches that the earth is not going to be discarded, but is going to be resurrected. And so it is with our bodies. The Westminster Confession says, plainly, all the dead shall be raised up with the self-same bodies and none other. So, however you get your framework going on this, yes, when you die, you go to be in the presence of God in heaven, but at the day of the Lord, there is going to be a resurrection of the dead, and it's going to be a resurrection of our true bodies. Now, let me try to explain to you why this has blessed me so much to be meditating on this that I've never preached a sermon on or never heard a sermon on. It's blessed me in the first place because the resurrection of the body affirms the goodness of God and the goodness of his creation. God created everything that exists out of nothing. God did not need, because he's God, he did not need other matter in order to create what he created. And when he created each day of creation, he said, it's good. And when he had finished creating humanity, he said, it's very good. Now, if God says something is good, it's good. And he's never changed his mind about the goodness of what he created. Sin has corrupted the world and brought into it a state of confusion and decay. But the creation itself is God's good creation.
Alan Wright, you're listening to Sharing the Light and today's teaching, The Body You Always Wanted.
We know our treasures are stored in heaven. And we've heard the bad jokes about you don't see a hearse pulling a U-Haul and you can't take it with you. So let's talk about this a little bit. I mean, how are our treasures stored? How should we look at this? You know, maybe I've got a gadget that I really, really like, or I've got a bottle cap collection. I don't need the bottle cap collection, but I like my bottle cap collection. How should I start thinking about the things, the gadgets, the trinkets here on earth, the treasures, if you will, but have a heavenly mindset of, hey, my treasures are really stored up in heaven?
One of the things that is revolutionary to me as I studied the scriptures on heaven, I mean, revolutionary to me after all these years as a Christian, was to really fully accept that who I'm going to be, who you're going to be, Daniel, who we're going to see all the saints, we are really ourselves. Our life is not destroyed, it is remade, and yet it's really us. So this changes so much. I think that we act as if this world is all there is. It's not just to say, oh, you can't take it with you, which you can't. It's all monopoly money, and you're going to turn it all in at the end. All the property and all the monopoly money is going to be turned in at the end of the game. But it's to say something deeper than that. It's to say that you are going to be continuing as a human being with a spiritual body, and so you're moving towards something. So what you're doing now is not like, okay, this is over and then everything restarts. It's a continuation, but in a renewed, blissful way. And that shapes me. That makes me think, you know, what I'm doing today is not going to be forgotten. And it is going to be shaping something of who I am in the future. I honestly think the nature that we have, if someone is musically gifted, I think they're going to be musically gifted in heaven. And I don't know how that's going to work, but I mean, it almost makes me think, well, if I learn to play the piano today, I'm going to somehow carry that skill with me on into eternity. It would really change the way we look both about how our relationships develop and what we're really investing in. The things that moth and rust consume, the trinkets of the world, no, we're not going to take those with us, but we are going to take the stuff of love, eternity, and relationship is going with us.
The teaching you heard today is part of a complete CD collection on Alan's Heaven series, and it's our special offer to you for a donation of any amount to Sharing the Light Ministries. As you've heard today, heaven is something we should be anticipating, and although we don't know everything about eternity, there are some absolutes from Scripture. You'll find encouragement and hope as you study along with Alan on CD at your own pace. Request a copy when you call, email, or write us. Also, if you've never contacted us before, please ask for today's free gift to you, the complete message from which today's program was edited. Again, free to first-time friends of Sharing the Light. Our toll-free number is 877-LIGHT-60. On the web at sharingthelight.org, or write to us at Sharing the Light, Post Office Box 5008, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27113. We also ask you to remember that Sharing the Light is able to continue spreading the teaching of the gospel only because of the financial support of faithful friends. Please pray and consider a tax-deductible gift to Sharing the Light Ministries. And while we certainly appreciate your prayer support and your financial giving at any level, Alan, we do have a special opportunity for folks to get involved with us and join the Circle of Light.
We exist because of partners in ministry that believe that this message of grace is urgent and important and powerful. And so this is a new ministry that includes those that want to be an ongoing partnership with us, people that give $20 or more a month or annually along that line. We want to show some special connection together and really sort of a circle of light with the sense of just ever broadening the light of the gospel. There are some special privileges for those who are in the circle of light, including special access to parts of our website that will enable you to access all of the messages of a current sermon series that I'll be preaching, as well as a classic series and some other special communications and opportunities that come along throughout the year. But most of all, the great privilege of being part of the Circle of Light is that you know that you are impacting thousands of lives every day through this radio broadcast. And we are so grateful for all of our partners, because otherwise the broadcast in all of our ministry would not be possible. The Circle of Light really is sharing the light of the gospel all across the world.
Your contributions help sustain the broadcast in your city. When you give $20 a month or more, ask about joining the Circle of Light when you call 877-LIGHT-60 or visit sharingthelight.org. Now, a look ahead at the next edition of Sharing the Light with Alan Wright.
If you had a dramatic salvation experience in this life and you had a tremendous change in your life, what I'm telling you is that change is pales in comparison to the change that is coming in the resurrection of the body. It is so glorious. And it's going to be you.
We certainly hope you'll join us next time and mention the teaching you heard to a friend. Thanks for listening by radio, podcast, or through our online resources at sharingthelight.org. This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.